The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks. I'm not afraid, to take a
stand, See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Building Supplies, RF Banking Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, business of the show. Or you can catch us on ETC Flow channel 612. ETC Flow channel 612. Last night, the Government and Public Policy Institute had a meet the policy lecture, the policy director's lecture. And our featured speaker last night was the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Wayne Monroe. And I will say to you what I said to the audience last night, that I thought that he gave the best national security presentation that I have ever heard given in this country. He weaved a story in which he noted the problem and the government's strategic effort to address the problem, from prevention to rehabilitation and everything in between. He was very comprehensive, very practical, very understandable, very relatable, very pragmatic. It really was a wonderful presentation. And I one of the things he did was upfront gave a written statement read a statement of the government's national security policy. Now, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it is irrelevant to the fact that what was important was that it was provided. So what was provided was something we could all take a look at, analyze, even as he invited us to do so, assess and determine, you know, where the strengths or weaknesses were. But it was an excellent opportunity and an excellent example of accounting for ministerial responsibility insofar as the policies are concerned. But as he spoke, he also mentioned the challenge that we have with violence. And he also mentioned, in particular, gang violence and the fact that there are so many motivations that drive young men, in particular, to join gangs and to end up doing the kinds of things that causes us to have trepidations and anxieties. He talked about the dynamics involved with young men going to prison for very minor things, but encountering in the prison system, there are people who become their protectors, become their providers, become their community. And then when they go out, having served some short sentence compared to the protector who was serving a long sentence, they become an extension of the person on the streets. Well, you know, these dynamics, these peculiarities, these nuances are things which my guests have been dealing with for decades. When I first met Pastor Dr. Dave Burrows and the great Eric Fox, I met them passionately in pursuit of addressing this concern of young men in particular, but young people who were straying in terms of their behavior, straying in terms of their conduct, engaged in drug addiction, engaged in violence, engaged in crime and those kinds of things. And theirs was the effort to provide intervention for these young people. And so many did. So many young people were, through their efforts and the efforts of the people that they led and worked with, took some of these folks off the streets. And today, these people, many of them, still live very productive lives. I have with me today Pastor Dave Burrows and Eric Fox to talk about some developments and some things, some effort to be undertaken to try and address some of what is troubling this society today as it did many years ago. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be here with you, man, as always.
Good to be likewise, here, likewise. Good afternoon to you, man.
I almost feel like we have a reunion going on up in here.
I see it. Yes, man, it's the time.
These people may not know how Pastor Dave, Brother Fox, in our much younger days, for me, much younger days, we represented in many instances a tandem on many stages. I don't know if you recall this. I'm almost sure you do. When they were having some real feuds between the front, the middle, and the back of Yellow Elder.
Yes, yes.
And called us to try to do some intervention. I think our first meeting was at Government High School on one occasion when after I started to speak with these the leaders of these factions.
I remember that very well, man, very well.
And the battle continues. The battle continues. Indeed. I mean, from your perspectives, where are we in the Bahamas and what concerns you most?
Well, let me say this. You know, the speech that you mentioned last night, and I really wish I could have been there. I had another engagement, so I wasn't able to make it. But the minister and others before him have all alerted us to a massive problem in the country. And this problem seems not to be going away. And we have called for all hands to be on deck to try to mitigate the situation and try to reduce the violence and the gang activity. So understanding what's happening in the country and understanding, you know, what needs to be done, myself, Eric Fox, and Carlos Reed, we got together and we said we want to do something to help to reduce, if not alleviate, the problem. And so we brainstormed together and we came up with a few ideas that have now come to fruition. One of those ideas is that as each of us has gotten older, we may not be able to do as much as in the past. However, the best contribution that we can make at this time is to equip persons so that they can be interventionists. You know, this is a very narrow skill set. Very few people have a history in working and violence and so on. And all three of us not only have worked in that field, but have names and faces and success stories. So we have already helped to solve the problem previously. Some of the older people in the country may have remembered Peace on the Streets. You know, there were several other initiatives that I had done before that, going into just about every school in the Bahamas, going into all of the parks, the neighborhoods. So we have a history of successful intervention. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to train persons and give them the unique tools and knowledge, transfer that knowledge and say, okay, you want to help, here is how you can help, and here is what you need to know in order to be effective. And this is not just for those who are working directly in the field. This is for everybody. So, you know, the pastor, the preacher, the school teacher, the administrator,
the parent,
everybody needs to know what we did and how we were able to access these young people, how we were able to defuse situations, stop wars from happening, all of those types of things. So we got together, and what we are doing is we are doing a series of training events, training young people, imparting the knowledge, and we wrote a book. You know, in the Bahamas, a lot of people have information and expertise, and when you call on them, they have to bring that with them in their brain. Bahamians haven't written a lot of books, especially manuals or textbooks and things like that. But we have a lot of local expertise that's being underutilized because we're not publishing. So we decided to publish this project so that, you know, persons could have a copy of it. They can use it in their training environments, parents, teachers, you know, politicians, whomever, could get this information. Also, law enforcement can get this information, and it can help to reduce the crime and violence in the country. So if we want to solve the problem about crime and violence, this is one solution that we are bringing to the table that is published, it's been proven and tested, and the public at large needs this. The government needs this, and we need this in order to help with this situation.
Before we get to the specifics about the book and the program, you know, I think you both will agree that the vast majority of our citizens, males and females, are not engaged in violence and gang activity and criminal activity. Is that not true?
That is true.
Yeah, okay. That is true, but...
Okay, No.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not trying to soften anything up.
Yeah, all right.
But that's we have to start with the reality. I think when you describe the reality for people, then we can all have the right, I think, perspectives. But
right.
Here is what is true. Even if a very small percentage of your population were engaged in violence that could threaten life and limb, the fact of the matter is the threat of that spreads to the entire population.
Yes, that's true.
Affects the entire population. And all of us, depending on the degree of that violence, all of us find it difficult to sleep. All of us find it difficult to move about. All of us are anxious because our children, we think are so good, are out there and may encounter these folks who might be part of this violence. So you don't get to escape because you are in the majority of those people who are not the people you're targeting for a program like this. True or not true?
That's correct.
Well, you're so true, Chivago. You're so true.
You see, and so I wanted people to know that when you say this is for everybody, none of us knows when we may encounter the person who may be the potential injurer, robber, raper, harasser of ourselves and the people around us who are not intent on doing those things.
You're right.
Right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Nor do we know when our children, who we say we have raised so well, may encounter those people who don't come maliciously and wickedly, to influence them, but who by virtue of maybe rescuing them in a situation become somebody they become connected to and bonded with.
Yes. You're so right, Joago. You are so right.
See, Pastor Dave and Brother Fox, what I'm trying to do is what I found this, and you can tell me if you've observed this or maybe I'm wrong. What I found is too many of our folk describe scenarios involving, in quote, the so-called bad boys that always seem to be alien to what we might ordinarily encounter. But the truth is, very ordinary circumstances bring us in contact with people who are the target of the projects you're trying to mount. True or not true?
You're right.
Very true. Very true. Yes, yes.
And so I just wanted to lay that foundation so that people who are sitting out there thinking this is remotely related to me, come on, man. No, it's not.
You know, one interesting point is that this is the other point that a lot of people don't realize. They may think that their children are good children, but not know what their children are involved in. You know, I had to intervene in a situation recently, and I was really amazed because, you know, you had a young man who was from a ordinary neighborhood, clean-cut young man. You know, nobody knew anything what was going on with him, but come to find out, he was associated with gunmen and ended up being involved in one way or another in a shooting, you know, in a upper class area. So sometimes you think, well, it's not my children, but you don't know. You don't know who they associated with. You don't know what they have been involved in. So, you know, sometimes we feel like we can identify, like people walk around with a badge saying, you know, I'm a gang member. Sometimes you really don't know.
Man, I have been so stunned over the years finding out the names of people I'm told were running guns. I mean, shocked. I'm talking about stunned. Stunned people. I mean, I was like, for real?
Yeah. Because,
as you say, I mean, the labels don't fit.
And Chihuahua, this thing is so serious now. You have a lot of young men who live in these areas, right? Because now it's now becoming a culture. Gang is becoming a culture now. And so you'll have a young man that live in a particular area that do not want to participate in these activities. But yes, say for instance, he has a job and they need his services. They call on him.
Yeah.
And if you don't answer, then he's become the enemy.
Yeah.
And then once you become the enemy, then your family's the enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so now when this, and they show you that, they slide up on you, right up on you unaware, and they show you, listen, if we want to, we could. And so what's going to happen? You somewhere down the line, you can bow out, even not just for yourself, for your family.
Mm.
And once you're in, yeah.
Reluctant or not.
Yeah, so, but, Joao, this, it has really not surprised me with the work I do. And, you know, Teen Challenge, we celebrate 35 years next month in the Bahamas. I think we're about 65 in the world. You know, this organization, you know the story of David Wilkerson was born out of violence with a cross in his fish plate. So everything we do, and you know, some persons try to separate drugs and gang banging. They say, oh, you know, you need a drug treatment, but you find drugs is mainly the fuel for this whole war.
Mm.
This war is, I mean, yeah, there might be some retaliation if someone got killed and what's not, but when you check the background of it, it's really all about money.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that the economics is at the drugs because it is the product that brings the revenue, the income that provides the needs,
okay,
aspirations of the people who are dealing the drug and takes care
yes
of their gang community.
So we see this killing and all that stuff what's going on, but that is just more like collateral damages to say from the real purpose behind why they do what they do. This is stuff they have to do in order to keep their enterprise. This is a, you understand?
And what is so insidious about it, Pastor Dave, Brother Fox, is that so the economy of violence, in this instance, we're talking about where we got drugs involved or guns involved, whatever the trade is involved. The economy there has a supply side and the demand side. The supply side is what the gang members are doing. The demand side is the people who want the drugs. Now, what is peculiar here in many instances is the socioeconomic profiles of the demanders of the drugs and the suppliers of the drug can be entirely different. So
it is different.
The demand side is all these educated, professional, stressed out people looking for an escape from their high stress life who would never dream of dealing drugs.
So they indirectly involved with this whole thing.
Absolutely. But they don't think they are, but they are actually fueling the supply side, because if you didn't have any demand, there would be nothing to supply.
Absolutely.
You're so right.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. In fact, I had conversations with lawyers, doctors, and others, and they tell me, you know, they smoke their weed, and that, you know, they don't see any problem with it. So they have to purchase it from somewhere.
It's illegal. You got to purchase it from somewhere.
Right. And it's not new. You know, in the book, what we talk about is we talk about the game. So the game has been around forever. The game hasn't changed. The only thing that changed in the game is equipment and tactics.
Maybe the age of some of the players.
Yeah. So basically, you know, if you go back to the 70s, you didn't have organized gangs, but say you had what you call blocks, which is basically the same thing. Each block had a dope spot. And way back in those days, the politicians used to come by, the journalists, I mean, all kinds of customers. I have some first-hand knowledge of it. So you had all of these people coming in. And the ones who are in the game, they have to protect their territory, they have to protect their supply, and so they have to have equipment. Back in those days, it was a 22 or a 38 or whatever it is. And then a few years later, it was a 357 or a 44. And then after that, you know, it was Glocks and 9s. Then you had Mach 10s. Then you had Uzi and AR-15. Now it's all the way up to AK-47, which is a weapon of war. So the equipment has changed and the tactics have changed.
I've seen bazookas.
Wow.
I have seen. All right.
Yeah. So, you know, the tactics have changed, but the game is still the same. So it's the same thing that is happening. You know, the players change, the tactics change, but it's the same. Realize that this has been going on for a long time, and it will continue to go on. And it is our responsibility to do what we can, because we want a stable society. It's our responsibility to intervene to try to prevent the spread and to try to cause the decline of this activity. And then for young people are really victims, because it's just like what Jesus said. Jesus said, man, Father, forgive them. They don't know not what they do. It's almost like you're signing up for suicide, because when you get in the game really doesn't profit most people in the game. If it does profit people, it's a short-time profit. You don't have retired drug dealers. You don't have people, gang members, who say, man, you know, I've been in the gang for 50 years and I have a wife and family and settled down and everything is good. All of them end up with miserable lives in miserable situations. You know, you end up in prison or the grave. So the young people are really the victims, and they are blinded by, you know, the lights and the actions of the time and the flash, not realizing that at the end of the day, you know, you just building your own coffin, you know?
And you know, it's a pyramid scheme.
Right.
See, because pyramid schemes do this. The people at the top make almost all the money, and their glitter that glitter attracts recruits who have to get recruits, because what you're trying to do is by volume sales, you are trying to get your piece of a big sale. And so the fella at the top is getting the lion's share. So who are the latest recruits? The latest recruits in every pyramid scheme get the least amount of money and probably get ditched. They're young people.
Right.
you're the most recent recruit to the pyramid scheme. So while your boss making a couple dollars and his boss making a couple more dollars and the big cheese up there making the big dollars, you are never to the bottom there unless you can hang around for 20, 30, 40 years in the pyramid scheme. Are you ever going to get rich? And it never happens. At some point, the scheme collapses on itself.
Yeah. Chihuahua, I wouldn't be able to stay much longer because I have another appointment, but there's something I want to mention in the part that I will be playing with this whole training in reaching the streets. I've worked with the Catholic Church for the past 18 years with domestic violence and abusers, and a lot of individuals does not see how this domestic violence thing connects to gang violence too. Because you will find all violence is about power and control. Whether it's bullying, it's about someone trying to control somebody else. If it's domestic violence, it's about someone trying to control their girlfriend, their wife, their spouse, or their fiance. When it's gang violence, it's somebody trying to control the streets. So all come from the same place. So when I would do counsel, I go behind the scene and deals with these persons as an individual. And you will find there are certain, these young men that come to me who are on drugs or some of them are involved in gangs, you will find that most of them have certain things in common that make them more easy acceptable to joining up with these types of fractions. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
They have a lot of things in common, and you will find that traumatized by violence, home situations. Because you might think a young man who in gang and being violent and shooting people, you think he's not abusive? You think he's not abusing his girlfriend? Of course. You think he's not bullying some peers in the community? All these things he's doing. Now, if you check the background, most of them come from abusive families. Remember now, violent is a learned behavior. Violence is a learned behavior. And so now they, because they've been through all this trauma, and you mentioned earlier about families and what's not who kids might be, you might think they're good, but somehow they connected with it. You'll find that I don't think now that there's a family on this island that has not been affected by gang violence. Murder, someone being murdered close to them. So you find a lot of these kids in school have lost their fathers, lost their uncles, lost their brothers, lost their sisters, lost them. Most of them has lost someone. And so now they're grieving. And then they've been traumatized with this person that's being violently moved out of their life. And so now these stuff is not dealt with. And then they have this hurt, they have this pain, they got this emptiness. And then in the environment is this type of talk that is enforcing revenge. You understand? This is being talked about every day. You could imagine this young man has two sons gunned down. The sons grow up. The fellow them saying, boy, you know, I know your daddy. Despite what your daddy should do, your daddy really love you. You know, they make sure they have their tennis, they get their food on it. Because when you look into the lives of these guys, you're watching their mother and their family and stuff, you know. These, a lot of them are loving, though, and but take care of their family.
I told people the other day, you'll find a fellow who committed murder or out there good with all his violence when he see his grandmommy or some elderly person. Hey, mom, how are you? You need some help, mom?
Okay. Like Pastor Dave will tell you, but the story with reaching that most people are two different persons. He mentioned that two different persons. So now you have this young man who lost his father. So he's hurting now because he has to hustle on his own knockers because his daddy is dead. people putting things in his head. You, I get the paper right in front of me where the minister mentioned that the criminals are younger now who are being hit, man. So they saying, we ain't waiting until we get 18, 19, 20. We get a gun at 14, we won't find who these people is. And then the people that are put it in the yard, they ain't get it, they say. You won't find no 14-year-old bringing no gun in this country. You won't find no 14-year-old smuggling dope.
Brother Fox, you're going to be with us till 3, or you got, because we have to take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll be back right after the break.
Okay, all right.
Okay, wow. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. Having a sober conversation today with two of the best in understanding what's going on in this area. Pastor Dave Burrows and Brother Eric Fox. We'll be back after this break. Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm,
I ain't marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, might clean the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna notice you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 2423 from the Family Islands.
It's so rewarding with my Fidelity credit card. I get the best prices with price protection. Earn and redeem freedom points at my favorite stores. Get cash back. Plus, I booked a cruise. Get your Fidelity credit card today. Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're
good for you. The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
In 1973, the Bahamas gained its independence and CBS Bahamas opened its doors. From humble beginnings, CBS Bahamas is now the nation's top supplier and installer of architectural building products, the country's largest home improvement retailer, and offers the most extensive online shopping platform in the Bahamas. That's a lot to celebrate. We're 50 and fabulous. Visit us today at CBS Bahamas, CBS Pro Store, or cbsbahamas.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where I'm speaking with Pastor Dave Burrows of Bahamas Faith Ministries and Brother Eric Fox, who heads Teen Challenge. Yeah. And we're talking about a project that they're mounting to try to address, mitigate this gang violence that's plaguing the country and causing so many families, so much grief. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I know, Brother Fox, you're going to have to leave in not too long a while. So if there's anything else you want to let us know, since we're going to have Pastor Dave with us, please go ahead.
One other thing I want to mention, Chowago, I am along with what the book, Pastor Dave, my part of the training is behind the scene. And I have a drawing here, a sketch here with me, that it's in the form of an AK bullet, right? And from my training, it has the anger at the tip. The anger is the tip, and anger is a secondary emotion. So it's the secondary emotion. It always covers up the real issue. And in the part of the bullet where you would have where and you have all the stuff like shame, guilt, disrespect, humiliation, powerlessness, timid rejection, and the more stuff is in here, the more velocity the bullet will get. The tip pushes the anger.
That's powerful.
A lot of these men, boys, because of all this unresolved issues in them, that's why they can go and shoot off a fella face. Or they can just go because they have all this unresolved. They think it is for what they think they're doing it for. But deep down inside, all these unresolved issues build up in them and they need to release that. And so this book, with the counseling, with the programs that Dave, myself, and Carl is going to put together, we're going to train person to how to get behind the scene and cause these. Violence is a form of communication, Chowago. It's a form of communication. We want to teach these young men how to communicate without being violent. How to have a decent conversation. Most young men don't know how to have a decent conversation. They don't even know how to express how they feel. Certain words they're not going to use. They're not going to say, well, I feel timid, I feel vulnerable. They can say that's sissy talk, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't even have words to put the how they feel. So the only thing they know is you know, F you. And how much of that you can say? Sorry for using that like that, but I'm just saying. How much of that you can say? You say enough of that after you got to look for a bottle or you're looking for something, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to sit down and train persons to train this young man how to sit down and have a sensible conversation and talk about how you feel.
You know, it's interesting that you should say what you say, right? Because the other day I was walking on the road coming from the park that my son was, and this child was running out the yard mommy scream at her, right? Then the child must have sat near the road and the mommy screamed at her again. And as I was continue walking, all I could hear is this mommy screaming at her. I mean, just yelling at her. And I say, you know what? Is that where we learn all this screaming and yelling? And
that's exactly where we learn it from. Now she's downloading Chowago Lang. I'm going to go on this note. Do you know a lot of us think we are doing what we want to do, but we are programmed to do what we do?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
90% of what we do is our subconscious, you know.
Yeah.
And so we respond to situation based on what we have learned, what have been modeled in the front of us, and what has happened to us. There was a young man on social media a couple of months ago at one of the homes here, and he was cursing this lady right out, an adult woman. He was about 7. And it didn't support. I said, where do you learn? I said, boy, use a social media star. So he say, I on TikTok. I see you on Facebook and TikTok, and he started laughing. So I said, where do you learn to use some heavy language? He said, my auntie. He said, every two words she say, one is that towards me for nothing. So now, how could we expect this young man to respond with something else, and he don't have nothing else to respond with? He don't have no other information downloading him, so he could at least have a choice. He can at least have a choice. He don't have no choice. Now, the only thing he knows is that when you're confronted and things don't go your way, these are the things you say because of what he learned, what he saw, or what has been modeled in front of him.
That, That's powerful. That's powerful because consciously we feed our subconscious this stuff, and then unconsciously the subconscious is where we draw on what we draw on when it's time to act about what is happening in our world.
That's where we draw from, all of us, every day. And the thing about it is this: that's the place. That's your heart. That's just one limb. When he said, "Give me your heart," he's talking about your subconscious. He's talking about. So what we want to do, Chivago, is we want to have, this comes about with constant information. Chivago, I'm not talking on the top of my head. I am telling you what happened to me.
I was changed because
I was placed in teen child. I was placed in a classroom where I was bombarded with constant positive information. And so if you are full of positive information, you know, that's what can come with you when you run into a crisis. You're not going to respond violently because all that stuff is out of you. So I was reprogrammed. And the same thing need to happen to these young men and women. They need to be placed in an environment. That's why I tell Dave, and all the time I say, Pastor Dave, you know, pep talk is really good, but pep talk don't really change nobody. You need consistency in order to bring about change.
And what has to happen in order for your subconscious to change is it has to connect with a positive emotion.
Okay, all right.
That the subconscious wants to make good for you. So people got to really not only hear somebody say you are somebody and you can be somebody, you have to then see that in a kind of feeling, intense way that your subconscious said, man, I like that. I will go after that.
Yeah. And then it can become a part of you, and then you can automatically do it after a while.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chivago. Hope to be back soon so we can finish open this up. But we have the great Dr. Dave here. He's well and able.
Yeah, man. Anytime, we look forward to
Yo, man.
To
have a blessed evening.
Yeah, you too, my brother.
Okay, man. Bye-bye.
Pastor Dave, the wake is real.
It is indeed. It is indeed. No doubt about it.
And you've seen it from so many angles for such a long time. As you more now in your a more senior role as a pastor, like how do you have to contend with this now?
Well, you know, the thing about it that I always tell people is I say I used to be a player, now I'm a coach. So I remember a few years ago I decided to go play basketball again. So, man, I pull out my sneakers and, you know, I went on the court. And, you know, the little young fellas was running by me. I had to grab onto their shirt to guard them. And then my arm started hurting, my leg started hurting, and then I started getting injuries. And I began to realize, you know what, I'm not a player anymore. And that's how it is in this game, you know. I was the person who went out there, who went into the schools, who went into the streets, who did the work. But now my role has changed as a senior pastor, as a senior individual in the Bahamas. My job now is to transfer knowledge and information so that I can equip others to do the work. So, you know, don't expect me to be the one who's out there, you know, meeting with young people and engaging young people, even though I still do that from time to time. But that's not... that's not what I'm trying to do here. That's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is equip others, because the more people you get in the fight, the more successful you are. I always refer to it this way. If you have a country of 400,000 people and you have two doctors, it means a lot of people are going to die. If you get 100 people, 100 doctors, then it means a lot less people will die. So the more agents you have on assignment in the fight, the more success we will have in the country and the more lives will be saved.
So, and some of those agents have to have the energy to do that part of the work that really requires energy. You don't have anymore. That's just the physiology of our lives and the things that's happening in it, you know?
That's correct. That's correct.
We have to take a break for news, Pastor Dave, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation. But I want to then turn to the contents of the book and what people can look forward to in getting it and perhaps using it for their own development or training of people. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lange, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we continue our conversation with Pastor Dave.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let you know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been down.
Welcome back ladies and gentlemen to See Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we are here speaking now with Pastor Dave Burrows. We're talking about a project, program that they are seeking to mount to try to address this violence issue that we have in the country. In particular, as it relates to gang membership and these kinds of things. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I want to encourage you. Pastor Dave is very knowledgeable about lots and lots of issues around young people's development, young people's delinquency and what have you. And here is what is true. If you're a parent or guardian or educator or pastor or community person, you know that within your family or around your neighborhood or in the community, that there are young people that you know, you feel like, you know what? Boy, if something is not done, if something doesn't happen, this is going to go very badly, but you don't know what to do. You don't know how to approach it. You might even be afraid, and even within your family, afraid to approach it. Maybe this is an occasion on which you can ask a question of Pastor Dave and get some guidance. But Pastor Dave, this is the nature, too, of the, is to be able to get in people's time to where they can take their time and get some information that might help them address some of these situations.
Exactly. Yeah, this is a step-by-step guide into understanding the problem, understanding the players in the game, understanding the game, how to get started in reaching out to these young people, how to build relationships, proven strategies, not only for the short term, but long term. So what works, what doesn't work. And then we also look at success stories. So there are quite a few persons who we have worked with over the years who have become leaders in the community, upstanding citizens, husbands, fathers, business people, pastors. So it gives a picture or a vision of what is possible. It lets you know that this has been done before. It's not something that we are proposing and we are speaking about it blindly. This is something that was already done, already been accomplished. And what needs to happen is that it needs to be duplicated and multiplied so that we would have a greater impact on the community.
And does the book approach some of this from the point of view of, okay, you suspect someone could join or you're trying to prevent them from joining. So you have some preventative things you could do. And then you know that somebody's in a gang. here are some things you could do and so forth. How is that a part of the approach?
Yeah, actually, we cover all aspects. So we cover how to get out, how to not get in, and what to do if you are in, what are avenues to get out, what are strategies. There's a companion book that's being developed right now. It should be ready shortly, that goes along with this. So this is for persons who are working in the field, for parents, for business people, and so on. We have another book that's directed directly at the young people, and it's called Leaving the Streets. And basically what it does is it shows young people who are caught up in the game how to get out, how to build a successful life, how to turn their lives around, and how to become successful. And we use multiple examples of persons who've already done it. So in the book, we are telling the stories of, you know, persons who have been to prison for 20 years and now they've reformed their lives and they're doing better. Others who, you know, hadn't been to prison, but they've been involved in the game. They were gang members or leaders, but they have successfully navigated their way into a successful life. So we are covering a lot of ground, not only for the workers, but for the actual young people who are engaged. And our program is expanding, and we are getting a lot of buy-ins right now. So we have a number of organizations and entities that are asking us to come on board, to help guide them, direct them, and to help to develop these programs to prevent and to help reform, re-educate, rehabilitate, reprogram our young people into a better life.
I'm going to be working with the University of the Bahamas soon. I should tell you that the faculty, I heard back from them, so they're coming back around to group you into that discussion about how we can develop this the events around this idea.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm excited about that, you know.
And in fact, so the book directly for young people is called Leaving the Streets. The one that you're preparing for the training and what have you, what is the title of that book?
That's called Reaching the Streets.
Reaching the Streets and Leaving the Streets.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, I'm asking you so you could tell us. Sometimes people hear book. Oh, my God. You know, I don't believe no book, but... how is the book structured so people could know, you know, because I know your style. Your style is you try to make it very practical and easy enough reading. So is it still in that format or what's happening?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's easy to read and it goes step by step. You know, the chapters include understanding the need. So we talk about why do we need something like this and then understanding who they are. So when we think about troubled youth, a lot of people, they don't know who they are. They have an image. So they have an image of a guy who looks rough, you know, who's pants down behind his hip and so on. And so they have this idea that this is who the gang members are. But I always tell people this, you know, even when somebody looks that way, whenever you're talking about you dealing with a gang member or a criminal, if you are trying to reach them, you have to understand that you're dealing with two people.
Mm.
So the first person, let's say his street name is Scarface. Scarface is one person. Now, if you talk to Scarface's mother, the mother will say, but my son is a good boy. And we look at that and we say, man, this woman has to be crazy. She got to know this fella is a bad boy. But here's the problem. The mother does not know Scarface. She knows Zhivago Lang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they are two different people. When he's at home, he's Zhivago Lang. When he goes out on the street, he's Scarface. So if you try to reach Scarface, it's much more difficult. But you have to realize that behind Scarface, there's Zhivago Lang. You have to get to know
because Screwface talking to Scarface. You can't be Screwface talking to Scarface.
Right. Right. And see the very important strategic analysis in this is that it's easier to build a relationship with John Brown or Zhivago Lang than it is to build a relationship with Scarface. Mm-hmm. And what happens, what a lot of people don't realize, is that these people are not as unapproachable as you would think, and you just have to get in the right situation. You know, I give the example all the time that I engaged a lot of guys who were gang members, hitmen, all kinds of stuff. And basically the way I engage them is by asking questions. You know, that's what Jesus did. Whenever Jesus met somebody, the first thing he did is he asked them about their life. Mm-hmm. And there are strategic ways to gain access to these young men. And that's a part of the book. And it's something that, you know, I have done consistently over the years. Of course, I'm not doing it actively now because I'm in another role, but I still know how to engage young people, and I still do engage young people. I have a number of young people right now, somehow who are in the game, you know, some who are on the streets, but they come and they talk to me. They respect me. Some of them have read my other book, which is about my life story. Some of them have encountered me through speaking at a school, speaking at a church, speaking somewhere. So I still have access to these people. So there's a strategy for you to gain access. There's a strategy for you to build relationships. So the first thing you need to know is who they are. When you understand who they are, it's easier to reach them. And then when you understand the game and how the game is played, then it makes it easier. So for example, we may think that the person who is on the streets is unapproachable because we don't understand the game. So the game is basically protecting your territory, protecting your business, protecting your enterprise, and you have enemies who are trying to take away what you have. So if you have a dope spot and somebody around the corner wants to take over your territory or they from another gang or whatever, that's war. And if you don't respond, then it means you lose, you're out of the game, or you're dead. So you have to respond. The ordinary citizen is not normally the target. So sometimes we are afraid of feel like we are targets. But in most cases, when you're in the game, you're not indiscriminately trying to hurt people who are not in the game. You are killing enemies from another gang, from, you know, who another faction that's controlling stuff. So the general population needs to understand the dynamics of the game. And then we tell people how to get started. What are some critical approaches? You know, I have had some very unique approaches that a lot of people, when I explain my approaches in the past, they are surprised. And I give one example of I had a situation where I had a youth meeting. These young men came to the youth meeting. They were very disruptive. I later learned that they were in a gang. And I did something that was quite unusual. I invited them to my house for dinner. Three guys, they came to my house for dinner. We sat down, we talked. While we were talking, one of the guys said to me, he said, "You know, Pastor Dave, I always wanted to be a Christian." And, you know, I was a bit surprised. And then he explained to me, he said, "But, you know, I can't." So I say, "You know, why can't you be a Christian?" He said, "Well, you know, I live in this area. And in order for me to get through my neighborhood, there's another neighborhood close by where I've done some things to some people. So if I become a Christian, I don't have no boys. And if I don't have no boys, then I'm dead." And so, you know, because he came to my house for dinner, we built a relationship. Now, I'm not advocating that everybody just pick up a random person and invite them to your house for dinner. But that's one of the things that Jesus did. That's one of the methodologies that he used. You know, he went to Zacchaeus' house. They sat down, and then he was able to influence. The interesting thing about that encounter is that after that dinner at my house, I never had a problem with those young people again. And prior to that, they were disruptive and creating problems. But then when we sat down, talked, had a meal, they got to understand me better. I got to understand them. They understood that I was trying to help them. You know, the dynamics changed. And I've seen that happen over and over again. You know, in my lifetime, my family and my relatives, you know, they laugh about it because many times for Christmas dinner, I would have the leader of a gang or one of the leaders of a gang over for Christmas dinner. And the my relatives who would see these young men, if I didn't tell them who they were, they wouldn't believe it because the guys were mannerly. You know, they enjoyed the dinner. Everybody was fine. So sometimes we have to realize that the people who even are committing crimes are ordinary people who find themselves in extraordinary circumstances. And they are people who can be reached just living in fear. They see the on the news, they hear the reputation of these young people, and so they stay away. And they were like, I can't help, you know? I was talking to a pastor very recently, and he wanted to put on a program to reach some troubled youth. And some of his leaders, they said to him, they said, no, pastor, say no, we afraid. We don't want to do that. We're afraid of these guys. And I was trying to tell the pastor at the time, I said, well, no, you really don't have to be afraid. You're not a target. You know, sometimes these young people, what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of them are looking for a way out. And they are looking for somebody who is a positive influence in their life. People don't realize that. Most of the guys who I work with who are gang members, man, they are so loyal. They appreciated me for life. They would protect my children. You know, when my son, Ari, when he used to go to a mall years ago, you know, he'd say, man, daddy, I went in the mall and some guys, you know, came up and was harassing me. And he said, man, some of these same fellas who was over to dinner, they came up there and they say, Ari, you want us to roll these fellas out for you? You know, so they are very protective. They are very loyal. I remember one time one of the local media said something about me. Some of those guys, they call me up and they say, man, Pastor Dave, you want us burning down the station? And I was like, no, I don't need that. But, you know, these young people are more accessible than we would normally imagine. And that and that you can have success. But the key is, if no one is engaged, then it means they have no positive influence. They have no possible way out. The only thing that they see is the negative. So they need us.
Mm. The thing about it is, I think fear is driving a great deal of why not more is being done to connect with some of these people, right? Because people are scared. People are scared. They don't know if by association I'm going to get targeted. They don't know if I'm just hanging in the wrong place, if I'm going to get targeted, etc. But what you're saying is to have a reasonable caution about how to deal with things is one thing, but to stay away is an entirely different thing. And if you find the right strategic approach, you can stay safe and connect with these folks, because these aren't aliens. They're not werewolf and Dracula and them. These are people, children and cousins and uncles and aunties and brothers and sisters and stuff like that, who, as you say, if you meet them in any space other than that environment where the persona of Scarface must be preeminent, you will find John DeVoe, who is willing to say, talk to you about the one subject every single one of us believes is the best subject on earth, ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing that people don't realize is that they are already in your space and you don't even know. So, for example, we hired a security guard at BFM. This was years ago. And, you know, he was working as a security guard. And then he started to come to some of our youth meetings. Later on, he gave his life to the Lord. And he said, man, Pastor Dave, I have a confession to make. He said, you know, when you all hired me, I was a member of the Gun Dogs. and you know, today that young man has multiple businesses. He has a family. His wife is a nurse, and he has actually moved to the States. He's doing very well. So sometimes you feel like, well, you know, we are insulated or isolated from these young men. But if you have a hotel, if you have a business, you know, I've known of situations. There was one particular guy who was a gangbanger. He had a serious reputation in the streets. He was also a drug dealer. I remember when he got shot and they put his name in the paper, they had his name working for a major company. Mm-hmm. So he had a job. And sometimes people think that, you know, okay, you give these guys a job, they live happily ever after. But what happens and what's happened over the years is that some of these guys work. Not everybody is just on the street. Some of the guys work. And when they get a job, it doesn't mean that they leave the gang. It means that they have enough money to buy 3 pounds rather than 1 pound, or 4 guns rather than 1 gun.
Because the issue is trying to connect with their mindset and their approach to life, and whether or not they can, in changing that mindset and approach to life, dislodge themselves from this life that they have been a part of, sometimes for many, many years.
Yeah, and they are in your space, so it makes sense to learn how to interact, how to possibly reach them. You know, we keep thinking, well, they're not my space. But if I tell you some of the stories and some of the agencies, companies, and situations that these people are employed with, you know, it would amaze you. I'll give you some examples. Okay, I have known of persons who I work with who are from the streets, who, you know, are heavily in the streets, heavily in the gangs, and they worked at a radio station. They worked at a food store. They worked in a security company. So, you know, these guys are all around, and it's important for us to know how to engage them. We may not be able to identify them, but, you know, if you find out who they are, then you have a better chance of knowing.
I don't know why it should be shocking to people. You can find gang members, drug dealers, and all criminals in all spheres of society. The mafia was all up and down the legal, sophisticated church realities of New York and them.
Absolutely.
All up and down. I mean, I'm talking about they get in the church every day. They get in to get the children christened. They always give into the church and what have you. They own the garbage collection business. They own restaurants and all that kind of stuff. And they were as intertwined with lawful society as they were with the unlawful society, because that's the nature of the thing. It morphs into the society, right?
Absolutely. And many times you don't know. You know, I mean, not every criminal is identifiable. You know, we had a funeral recently, and I ran into one of my old boys from the streets years ago. And we were talking about this individual, and we were laughing because we were saying that this guy, as terrible as he was, every Sunday, even if he went to the club all night, came home 5 o'clock in the morning, he used to go to church every Sunday. And it's amazing, you know. So they are with us. They are around us. We have to learn how to engage them. We have to learn how to build strategic relationships, because people respond to people they have a relationship with. You know, you can't really discipline people. You can't really guide people or mentor people without having a relationship. So it starts with building a relationship, you know?
Go ahead.
I'll just give you an example of one of my successful interventions years ago. So I came home from college. There was the beginnings of gang proliferation. You had a lot of different issues. And I was invited by different schools to come and speak in different schools. And I remember going to H.O. Nash and speaking to the principal and the guidance counselor. They told me that they had a gang problem. So I said, okay, I want you to give me all the gang members, all the bad boys. And so I had a weekly class with all of the notorious young men in the school. And I built a relationship with them. They ended up looking up to me. I ended up mentoring a lot of them. And today, several of them are successful business people, pastors, motivational speakers, and their lives turned around because of relationship. So we have to learn how to build relationships if we want to make an impact.
So, you know, when I first ran in Fort Charlotte, a major figure in that world sent a message to say, you know, to tell me, you know, we like you and you can be all right. Right? Now, 5 years later, because of some things that transpired, they sent an emissary back to me and said, boy, like the boss said, tell you he like you. And, you know, he'd like to help you, but not this time. Mm-hmm. He said, but he just wanted you to know. He just can't do it.
Right.
And he organized his boys, and in numbers, they came and voted against me. So I'm saying to you, like you say, these aren't people who are removed from an understanding of, you know, I could have a relationship with you, I could like you, or these are people who, these are people.
Absolutely.
Navigating their world as difficult, dangerous, and as it is by choice.
Absolutely. One of the nicest guys I ever knew in my life was stone cold criminals, murderers, you know? I mean,
nice in terms of the way they would relate and connect with you.
Right. And if you didn't know, if you didn't know their street persona, you would have no idea.
Yes, know? That is true. You that know? Is very true.
I remember as a young boy growing up, there was a particular guy, he's dead now, and he's famous in Bahamian criminal history. But this guy was so quiet, and I mean, he was so nice to me, you know, and you could never tell that he was a really, really dangerous person, but that was the guy we used to call the Claw. Mm-hmm. So Claw was a notorious guy. He ended up killing a policeman. I can't remember what all, but he got hung for murder. But, you know, being around him, he was the nicest guy you would imagine. He never really was, he wasn't a loud person, very mm-hmm. quiet. He was kind of a mysterious guy. But, you know, I remember guys like that and several other guys, you know.
And some extremely, people know this. I had a brother, he's deceased now. He actually made an appearance at the Commission of Inquiry because he was so known and I was so knowledgeable about that whole drug scene in the 80s and all that kind of stuff. He had been to prison several times, the first time when he was a very young man and so forth. But this brother of mine, his intelligence won him the name Hermes, mm-hmm. after the Greek god Hermes. This dude had been in prison and got almost 10 GCs.
I remember him, you know. I remember
yes,
him.
Yes, yeah. wrote plays that the prime minister came and saw. And if you met him, anybody who met him, he was a charismatic, very well-liked person.
Absolutely.
You know, but his street persona was something different. Oh, that brother.
Yeah. No,
So it's just to your point, you know, that these are human beings who maybe there's an opportunity to connect, and you're saying that through this book and some of the training that will be provided, people will get an opportunity. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Dave Burrows. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Every Thursday until April 6th between 5 and 6 p.m. is Come Gold With Us Thursdays. Follow us and like our Facebook page, 50th Carifta 2023. Then keep a lookout for our team and get a chance to win a golden ticket and many, many more giveaways for the 50th Carifta Games 2023. For more details, email info@carifta50.com or call 808-GOLD.
Vaccines protect those we love the most, our children,
and our grandchildren. I vaccinated my children to protect them. Getting your child immunized can protect them against diseases like polio, measles, whooping cough, and others. So protect your child today by getting them immunized. My grandchildren are vaccinated. You should do the same. Vaccinate your children and your grandchildren and make sure they are safe.
Take advantage of the National Vaccination Catch-Up Campaign, March 25th to April 6th. Visit your nearest clinic weekdays between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. On Saturday, March 25th, visit us at the Red Cross, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Saturday, April 1st, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be at the Mall at Marathon. COVID-19 vaccines are also available at all locations. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764.
Every Thursday until April 6th, between 5 and 6 p.m., is Come Gold With Us Thursdays. Take a photo or video wearing your Karifta merchandise and cheer on our Karifta athletes. Follow us and like our Facebook page, 50th Karifta 2023. Then keep a lookout for our team and get a chance to win a golden ticket and many, many more giveaways for the 50th Karifta Games. For more details, email info@karifta50.com or call 808-GOLD.
Get cash back from the Water and Sewage Corporation. Receive $10 off your bill when you complete our online survey. We want to hear from you. Help us serve you better. Visit www.wsc.com.bs to complete our survey and receive $10 off your next bill.
Cashback offer applies to the first 100 customers.
It's fast, easy, and rewarding.
The Water and Sewage Corporation. Committed to growth, committed to quality.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us and find out more. RF, money at work.
Get your Karifta tickets. The 50th Karifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Karifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets@Karifta50.com or call 605-4051.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon with Pastor Dave Burrows about a project that will address training for people wanting to help intervene in some of this gang violence and violence we have going on in the country. Pastor Dave, let me read some text here for you. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Question, you think the government and the church getting a bad rap for the crime problem in our country? Because at which point we as parents take responsibility for these kids acting ridiculous in public?
Basically, you know, right now it doesn't even make sense to blame because everybody is to blame. The society is the same as the families. So it begins with the families. If you look at the police force, if you look at the church, if you look at the businesses, they all come from families. So when you have a society that is broken from the family level, you have a society that is broken all through. To blame the church is unproductive because what I found out from being in the church and being around churches, a lot of people don't realize that most churches in the Bahamas are very underfunded and ill-equipped. I'll give you an example. So when I was in youth ministry, because with Bahamas Faith Ministries, I was full-time. I had the time to go into schools every week. I had the time to go into parks and reach out and entertain the young people, put together programs, and I also had funding. You know, we did things like Youth Alive. We did concerts, talent jams, all of these kinds of things. These require a lot of manpower and intensive work. And a lot of churches are very small operations. You know, even the larger churches, a lot of times are not as equipped as they should be. I remember I was leading what was called then the Christian Youth Leaders Network. And when I talked to other youth pastors, I almost wanted to cry because they were saying...
When you were there full-time inviting me to come attend Youth Alive to speak, I was at a church as a youth director and the budget was $2,000 a year.
Right. So, so actually what we need is we need more hands on deck. So if we talk about the church, I think we need to be more involved in the church. So if not in the church, then you need to be involved in something. And the people who are criticizing, they need to support effective programs that are doing things. So if you say, man, you know, the church isn't doing a good job, but the church doesn't have money for their program. I'll give you an example.
Just before you do, just before you do, Pastor, because sometimes these people hold on for a long while. And let me just take this call, please.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. I am very impressed by your guests.
Thank you.
But I'm wondering, as a good Bahamian, why is it all that information you have and more information you can get, you're not discreetly communicating so that we could eradicate the problems of all these killings we are having on the streets? The information being held by you is no help to us in the Bahamas. If that information could be passed on discreetly to the commissioner of police, the knowledge of the gangs that you talk about, the knowledge that you could find out about the weapons, how they are coming in, how we get in, the AK-47, the AR-15, you are in touch with the people. And you could be the conduit needed to put our Bahamas back.
But you are assuming he's not connected to the police. You're assuming that.
Hello?
You are assuming he's not connected to the police.
What I'm saying is that there must be connection, discreet connection, as a good citizen with the commissioner of police.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Pastor Dave?
Okay. Remember that this effort is about reaching the young people. So... the crime fighting aspect of it, I'm not involved in that per se. What I'm involved in is I'm involved in building relationships. Now, interestingly enough, I just had a meeting very recently with the Commissioner of Police, and what we were talking about is training the officers who are going to have to engage these young people. Because sometimes, as police officers in the community, sometimes they are going to interact with these young men, and it's not necessarily going to be an adversarial reaction. So, you know, a policeman who's a community officer, he runs men, and because he's wearing a uniform or because he's associated with the police, he can feel like, well, I can't talk to them. But the strategies that we are talking about helps even the police officer to build relationships and to engage. And that in itself leads to a lot of success when it comes to crime fighting. So remember, this is a training manual, and this is directed at people on all levels, including law enforcement.
But to be clear, though, I didn't get the impression that you said that you are connected to these people and they are sharing information about their business that enables you to go and pimp on them. I didn't get the impression you said that.
No, not at all. No, what I'm saying is that there are persons who I've encountered over the years who are from the streets.
Right.
I maintain a relationship with them. They some of them have left the streets, some are still on the streets. But they talk to me. But we don't talk about what crimes they commit or what knowledge they have or what's going on. We talk based upon the relationship that I have with them. And yeah. I'm trying to help them. So, you know, I had a young man come to me the other day. And, you know, I know he's in the game, but I don't discuss the game with him. Because as a person who's in the helping field, what you don't want to do is you don't want to betray the confidence of young people. That's very, very important, you know.
But my own involvement with them is that they ain't about to be discussing their business with you, period.
No.
I mean, they do it for more than one reason. They do it because, first of all, why would I do that? I'm involved with something nefarious. Secondly, they don't want you to be become vulnerable in that way. My same brother I talked to you about.
Right.
When I would go around him at times, and some of his friends were around, and they would come talk to me, say, yo, move away from him. Get away from him. And then he'd come to me and he'd say, Shabali, go home.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not about to get you caught up in that life if they know you're not in it. We have another caller on the line, actually, Pastor Dave. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Okay.
Hello, top of the afternoon to you, man. Listen, Pastor Dave Balls.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? This is a long time no hear from, and I'm in very bad condition. This is Sydney Bain, Pimp Man from the UWS of Warren Street.
The Great Pimp Man.
Great Pimp Man. And I want to say good afternoon to Chicago Line.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling you on a very bad note because I want to see you walk out of the street. I've been in a very bad accident. Mr. Young know me very well, too, because my mother campaigned for him. This is not a... When you leave the studio, Pastor Dave, could you please pass him and patch it? Just came out of the hospital. And I still live in the back of Miss Miller. I can't talk too long because I have to get a tube put into my throat. Could you please pass by our house? I need to talk to you and see you. And I really thank you very much. You're getting a little hoarse now. But Brother Lang, you're doing such a good job. But Pastor Davis, Pastor Boss, could you please pass by my house before you leave the area? And say hi to everybody, to your daughter and everybody, because I know them. I don't know if Marilyn is still there, but please, if you can.
Yeah,
thank you very much. I'd be very appreciated. And I go on surgery Tuesday and Thursday, one for my arm and one for my throat. So you could please pass by me before you go, please?
Yeah, Pimp Man, I'm coming by, all right?
All right. Okay, we have a text here. Pastor Dave says, good day, Shabaro. I always enjoy your show with your timely topics. And I'm so proud of my Pastor Dave Burris dropping the knowledge. He's well-rounded and relatable. To God be the glory for his life and sacrifice to our church, the Bahamas, and the world. We have another text here. Good afternoon. Please ask Pastor Dave, what is the predominant reason young men join gangs?
That's a good question, and that's what I cover in the book. Basically, you know, someone said abuse people. Young people in gangs are often looking for something. They're looking for a sense of belonging. And there's a quote that I heard years ago that's a really powerful quote. It says, animals risk their lives for food and survival. Humans risk their lives for acceptance. So a lot of young people are looking for love, acceptance, affirmation, and they are not getting it through traditional means. So they will actually risk their lives to have a name attached to them and to have their friends say, yeah, you know, this person gets respect. So it's a combination of things. A lot of it is environmental. You know, you grow up in an area where it's predominant, and so it's hard to escape. You know, you can't. Some people are born into it. You're born, your father was a drug dealer, your father was a gang member, and so it's almost
like Ben Quincy Jones says, we want to be what we see.
Absolutely. And if we want our young people to be different, they have to see different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot about love, acceptance, about, you know, the opportunity to be mentored. I remember a young man came to me one time, a young man who was a gang member, and he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, man, you know, Pastor Dave, he said, you know, the guys on the streets, say they used to answer questions my parents wouldn't answer. He said, man, those guys used to give me more wisdom and knowledge, and they used to counsel me. You know, so sometimes we feel like the young people who are in these gangs and stuff, that they are outwardly being abused off the top. A lot of times the young men are actually giving life advice. Some guys on the streets will tell young guys, well, you know, don't get involved in this, you know? I remember there's a guy, there's another guy who died. From one of my old hangouts in Harlem, Shaf, a very smart fella. But of course, Shaf was, you know, on the streets. And he used to be helping the kids in the neighborhood with their GCs and BGCs and so on, you know, BJCs. So sometimes we have to realize that the gang member is looking for the same thing that all other young people are looking for. And it's the environment that he's in and the people that he has access to that determines where he gets his needs met.
But, you know, I also believe that every young man is a Japanese. So what do you mean by that? You know this, Pastor Dave, that in the Japanese culture, face is everything. Saving face. So in the Japanese culture, it's very important from a family point of view, from a other point of view, that they continue to be respected. That's what they mean by face, to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And a young man coming into that hormonal stage of his life where he is starting to physically feel alive and strong and so forth, for him in the pack, it's important to have face. And in many places where he is, he goes, especially in this home, et cetera, he don't have no face, you know. He's expected to respect everybody, but nobody really deals with him in terms of respect. Then he goes out in the community and he's hanging out with some guys. And either by his association or by his behavior, he comes to have face. People say, but don't mess with him, rebellion, and so forth and so forth. And so that degree of respect gives him a belongingness that makes him want to stay.
Yeah.
And outside of that environment, there's no other place for him to get respect, especially if he ain't very smart and achieving in school or achieving in some other form, sports or something like that.
Absolutely. It's a real thing, you know, and we have to put young people in a better position to succeed. You know, if the only thing around them is negativity, then that's what they're going to become. So we have to improve the environment to improve the people in the environment. So We have to improve parents. We have to improve families. We have to improve churches in order for young people to have a better chance, because young people are the victims, and they are not, you know, we look at them as perpetrators, but they are actually perpetrators who have been victimized and have become perpetrators.
We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. You got to make it quick. We got a couple of calls on the line and a few more minutes left. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. So, yeah, let me make this quick. I guess I'll touch on something with the Assistant Commissioner Paul Thompson. Pastor Dave, when the young man them come to you, everything is built on trust. On trust, too. That's the reason they come to you and they can talk to you. You don't want the young man coming to you and then say, well, Pastor Dave, well, I young and I wake in, I come from some good people, I have a gun, or I sell drugs and this and that, and they trust you with that. And then the second meeting, when they come there, they meet the police there.
No.
Police there to lock them up. I ain't awake. I'm about to jeopardize your safety.
Yeah, no.
Like the waggle line, say, pimping or whatever. And you know, stitches get stitches. So it's a touchy situation. So I agree to how you handle in the situation, Pastor Dave. You see, Assistant Commissioner is the police. He's looking at us from the police side.
Right.
But
right.
You doing the right thing, because the young man coming to you for trust. They trust you to tell you these things. They ain't want you to run to the police and tell the police everything what they telling you.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, have a great afternoon. Yeah.
Well said. Thank you very much. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. No? Okay, great. Yeah, Pastor Dave?
Yeah, I mean, that's very accurate. You know, I mean, I've been in the helping game. I was on the streets. And then when I came off of the streets, and as the gentleman said, you know, when you are helping people and you're working with people, you understand the streets, you understand the game, and you understand that, you know, when people trust you, you have to be able to maintain that trust, you know, and you have to.
How can people who may be saying, can I get in touch with you, Pastor Dave, so that maybe we can set up some of this training and get access to the book? What should people do?
You can email me, Pastor Dave Burrows at hotmail.com, or my cell phone contact is 357-4492, or you can reach me at the church. So any of those means.
And businesses, civic organizations, churches, youth organizations, women's groups, men's groups, it doesn't matter. The government, all of them can call on you and the team you work with to have this training done, to have access to this information.
Absolutely. And that's what we are actively doing. So we have a number of government agencies, private agencies, where we are setting up some training seminars, and we are also hosting some events where we provide this information, do the training. We also are working on a video production. So in addition to having the book, we also are producing some videos that show the best practices, that show some of the results, and inform and educate and transfer the information.
Mm. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I've been here with Pastor Dave Burrows talking about how you, me, and everybody else can get access to some critical information to be able to address, to make some intervention into this gang violence and violence we've got going on in the country. And I think you couldn't ask for people with better understanding, knowledge, and intimate involvement in this same kind of work. Pastor Dave, I thank you, and listen, you guys come back again so we can talk about some other things.
Yes, sir. It's always a pleasure, man. You know, we go way back, so
way back,
I definitely enjoy it.
Thank you, man. God bless.
All right, God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Y'all have a great week.
Take a stand, everybody.
Every Thursday. Thursday until April 6th between 5 and 6 p.m. is Come Gold With Us Thursdays. Take a photo or video wearing your Karifta merchandise and cheer on our Karifta athletes. Follow us and like our Facebook page, 50th Karifta 2023, for our team and get a chance to win a golden ticket and many, many more giveaways for the 50th Karifta Games. For more details, email info@karifta50.com or call 808-GOLD.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Get cash back from the Water and Sewage Corporation. Receive $10 off your bill when you complete our online survey. We want to hear from you. Help us serve you better. Visit www.wsc.com.bs to complete our survey and receive $10 off your next bill.
Cashback offer applies to the first 100 customers.
It's fast, easy, and rewarding.
The Water and Sewage Corporation. Committed to growth, committed to quality.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.